message of the day. It's on the back of your worship folder. It's the gospel for today. It's a parable that Jesus told. Now, he uses a story, and we know what the parable is about. We have a clue in Psalm 118, if you want to jot that down, verse 22. Psalm 118, verse 22 tells us that the rock that is discussed in this text is Jesus. And this vineyard that we're talking about are the people of Israel. And the people that were sent by the owner are the prophets. And so the story goes like this. It came time for the harvest to come, and the owner of the field, who lived a long distance away, sent one of his servants to collect what was his due, what his percentage was, from the fields. When he gets there, the workers decide to not listen to him. They don't want to send anything back to the owner, and so they beat him up and throw him out of there. Now, the owner is very displeased with this, but is a patient man. And so he sends another person. And in the translation of this, that means another prophet comes to Israel. And is the prophet listened to? No, he's not listened to. He is beaten up and thrown out again, and nothing is given to him to take back to the owner. And so once again, it's all wrong. The owner, for a third time, sends another prophet to talk to the people. Maybe they'll listen to him. And for the third time, they beat him up, throw him out, and don't give him anything. Now the owner is overwhelmed by this, and the owner says, well, I don't know what to do. Maybe if I send my son, they will listen to him. They wouldn't dare harm him. So he sends his son. And what do the workers in the vineyard do? They not only beat him up and reject him, they say, well, this is the owner's heir. He will inherit this vineyard and we'll be out of luck. Let's just kill him and get rid of him, and then somehow the vineyard will become ours. They killed the son of the owner. That's Jesus. And this is interpreted for us throughout the scriptures. I'm going to give you a few verses to look at the conclusion of my message here. But do you see what's going on? We learned some things about God. Now, one thing we learned about God, this is a very dangerous thing that we learn about God here. Some teenagers, some young people learn that God is patient. Remember the first time you swore? It kind of shocked you. You didn't know something like that could come out of your mouth. And then nothing happened. You weren't struck dead. You didn't die. You didn't even have anything negative happen. Sin always grows. Sin always grows. If you shoplift some little item, maybe a piece of candy from a candy store, next time it'd be something a little bit bigger, maybe a CD or something like that. And if you're not caught and brought to repentance, that sin will grow. It's like the first time you argue as a husband and wife. If that's not repented of and solved, it gets worse. It festers. Sin always grows. You think about immorality. You think immoral jokes. You think immoral things. Pretty soon, those thoughts turn to action. And pretty soon, that action becomes unfaithfulness. Sin always grows until it's repented of. And so the patience of God, the owner of all things, the patience of God is quite often misunderstood, and people think they're getting away with their sin. Well, that wasn't so bad. Nothing terrible happened to me. I guess I'll just keep cheating. I guess I'll just keep lying. I guess I'll just keep being immoral. We do learn about God's patience. We do learn about his mercy. We do learn about all those things in this text, which are true. But we also learn, and mark this very well, I don't believe preachers anymore are talking about this. The justice and the judgment of God. If you want to find a text that says God will not be patient forever, this is the text. And it says the stone, this is talking about Jesus, which they rejected became the cornerstone upon which everything is built and upon which everything depends. And it says those that prick, those that come up against that stone are going to be shattered. And the stone, when it falls upon you, will crush that person. That's the almighty judgment of God. There is a payment for sin. And if it is not through the Lord Jesus Christ and his forgiving love for the believers who trust in Jesus for their forgiveness, it will be the damnation of those people. There is a judgment day. There is a hell. And it is coming. You know, you try to evaluate what our government is trying to do today, voting on such ridiculous nonsense. I've never seen in my lifetime the corruption openly, the lying, the talking about twisting arms, the threats, the bribes. It's all open. There ought to be safeguards against this. Of course, there is in the Constitution. Of course, no one follows the Constitution anymore. We are such a corrupt people in our government. Now, I ask you again, do you think God, who is patient, will never at some point pull the plug? Not in the history of the world. If you know anything about history, has there ever been a corrupt government and nation that God has not destroyed? Is that where we're at in America? Is God pulling the plug on America? Mind very carefully what I'm saying. Not the Christian church. The Christian church God will preserve. And he will never let anything happen to the Christian church, his people. But there is a day of judgment. We cannot keep going on with abortion and immorality and divorce, and all the other sins, the alcoholism. You can name so many sins in America, God would have every reason to say, that's it, no more. And this text says that day does come. This is very serious business. We have to make a choice. Either we follow the Lord, believing in him, trusting in him, living for him, and are under his mercy and protection and care and salvation, or we're pricking up against him, stubbing our toes, rejecting him, being disobedient, being contrary to his will, living in a sinful way with the sinful world around us. And in that event, this text says, it will destroy us. It will destroy us. God's patience does come to an end. And he says, okay, that's it. Now, this is quite a text, and it requires serious thought. I want to give you two references to look up in your Bible. When someone finds the right page, please call it out in the Pew Bible there. I failed to write down the numbers of the pages, but look up, first of all, in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts. the fourth chapter, Acts 4. Anyone find the page? Okay, somebody a little more clearly. 1396? 1596. 1696. 1696. Acts 4, verse 11.
Is your preacher telling you what God's word says?
Is that what it says there? Acts 4, verse 11. This is throughout God's word, what you're hearing this morning. Take a look at the second reference, which is in 1 Peter, way in the back in the New Testament. Find 1 Peter, somebody.
Call out the number.
1 Peter, chapter 2. Is that it? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. I want you to see that what you're hearing is not just the grace and the mercy and the love and the forgiveness of God, which is for his people. That's the Christian gospel. But there's more to it. It doesn't just end there. It also teaches that God is a righteous God, and he's not playing games. He's not a senile grandpa up in heaven saying, well, I wish you'd obey, but if you don't, well, okay, I'm just trying. You know, it is not that picture of God that the Bible teaches us. It is that God will bring a judgment. There is a day of reckoning. There is accountability. And God will expect a report from his people, just as this owner sent his messengers to see what is the response, what is the growth, how did we do this year? And so I want you to examine your heart and your life this morning and say, where am I at in the kingdom of God? Am I within his grace? Does he live in my heart? Do I belong to him? Is he my Lord and Savior? Do I have the certainty of the forgiveness of sins and the comfort of knowing that my Savior will never leave me? And if I were to die this day, I am with him eternally. There is no other hope in my life but Jesus Christ. He is everything to me. Nothing else really matters. Is that where you're at? And if not, as in every group of people, that's why God sent the prophets to warn and to beg for repentance. And every pastor today, if he's preaching the whole word of God, will remind his people, do not think this is a game. Do not think that God's patience will endure forever. It doesn't. Stop the sinful traditions that you are following. Change your way of life with the power of the Holy Spirit. Grow in your relationship with him, so that you become more and more mature and you find more and more peace and joy. You will find the exact amount of joy and peace in your life comparable to your repentance. If you're slow to repent and you're not very close to God, your joy won't be very complete. You want the fullness of God's blessing and you want his presence in your life and peace with him, then repent and live a repentant life, constantly coming for his mercy and for his correction and his growth. That's what the Lord's Supper is all about. This is a remarkable parable. Read it over again. And remember that Jesus Christ is the rock. He shelters all those who are his. But he will break and shatter those who oppose him. Amen.